Advent Sunday, and this is the start of the Advent season. The word Advent simply means arrival or appearing. So at this time, we're looking back to that first Advent, and we rejoice that as I pray, God sent that greatest gift into the world, and the gift of all gifts. Who could have imagined that someone would come into the world that would be for every single person? So we rejoice that Christ came as a saviour, and yet, can we ever get over the way that he came? God, Emmanuel, God coming to our world in such a way as a helpless baby. So we look back and we rejoice, we marvel afresh at the eternal God taking human form. But Advent, you know, again, that word, and the arrival or the appearing, we look forward. So there is that looking back, but we're looking forward to Christ coming as the great King. Jesus Christ is coming. And boy, aren't we seeing signs. In our world today, we just piece together the bits of the jigsaw that we've seen just in the last 5 years, say. Boy, aren't the signs of his appearing all around us. So we're looking forward with anticipation. We look back with thankfulness, but the Advent, we look forward to his coming with expectation. So it's a great season. And I said in my prayer that we need to be aware of the spiritual seasons as well as the weather. We love the change. We have four lovely seasons here in our part of the world. But we rejoice at the seasons we have on the church calendar. And so we're concentrating on the Advent, on the coming of Jesus Christ. And now we tend to get in a rut, don't we? You know, and bogged down. It's a depressing situation we're in at the moment. Maybe we get too much news, don't we? We have it relayed to us, you know, 24/7 in high definition colour, and it is depressing. And of course, the media—that's how they. Well, they thrive on bad news. Who wants good news? Well, we do, but we ain't getting it. And so, you know, we're being fed all the time. It's on a loop. And it is so depressing. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Yes. Amen, yes. Because we're Bible people. We know how it ends. Have you ever peeked at the back of the Bible? It ends well, folks. It does end well. Now, Jesus is King. He's coming. He's going to reign. But we get bogged down, and sometimes we just get stuck in a rut of depression and despair. So we're going to have a look at a person this morning who was absolutely shocked when his prayers were answered. I wonder if we would be shocked if some of the prayers that we've been praying for you, would we recognize the answers, I wonder? Well, we're going to have a look today at this man called Zechariah, and I do believe this account has much to say to us today. Firstly, we're introduced to this godly couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. If we look at chapter 1, verse 6, we're told of this couple. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. What a godly couple they were. Now, the context here we need to appreciate. I mean, these were dark days, really dark days. There was no word from heaven, no prophetic word, no voice from God. There have been 400 years. So since Malachi's day, that's how the Old Testament ends, since the prophet Malachi's day, 400 long, silent years. No word from heaven, no voice from God. So the religion had just become merely nominal, going through the routines, observing all the rituals, and yet just going through the motions. That's what often happens with religion. And it was corrupt as well. And so there were people using religion just to make money. So these were really dark days. But what's encouraging when we look at Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, that no matter how dark the day, God always has faithful people, doesn't he? You know, help the godly are no more, David says in, I think it's Psalm 12. We can get that kind of mentality that there's no one left, but God always has those who are faithful in dark days. Always, no matter what the generation has been, look at church history, there have always been those in those darkest, wicked, hopeless days. There's always been that little remnant of faithful, believing people, despite all the odds. And that is this couple here, godly, faithful couple. But if you look at verse 7, there's a sadness that hung over them. There was this but. They were faithful. They kept the commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well on in years. So they were childless. And maybe we could just pass over that verse and not realize the pathos in it. But they had no children. Elizabeth was barren, and it was getting worse because now she was past the childbearing age. She'd been barren in the younger years, and now she was well on. Old age, we're told in verse 36. I think regarding childlessness, it's easy for those of us who have kids, although we feel like at times, you know, go on. What do you think I was going to say? But you know, there are those who long for children and have never been given that gift. And so it's easy for those who have families to take them for granted and then to say insensitive things to a childless couple, even without realizing it. And I think childless people are always under pressure to explain themselves, why they have no children. So there's always that slight embarrassment and almost a stigma. Certainly in Old Testament days that was true, but I think the stigma continues. When news breaks of another couple expecting, how many, I guess, of them must repeatedly think, well, why not us, Lord? You know, we long for that gift. And so as I say, that's just in passing. That's just, I think, this heaviness that would have been upon their hearts all through the years. And they obviously brought to God, we're going to see. But despite this heaviness, despite, again, this silence from heaven, they continue to be faithful to God. Zechariah continues his work as a priest. He's from the priestly line. In fact, they're both from the priestly line. But then out of the blue, while performing his duties, it was his by lot, he was called to offer the incense in the temple, there is this visitor who gives the most incredible of messages, this angelic visitor. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." So he's going about his duties. In fact, we can ask the question, did you notice when God met with him? When did God meet with him in this unusual, startling way? Well, it's when he was just faithfully going about his work. He was just carrying on faithfully going about his work. In fact, we can think of a number of things like that. You know, when did God meet with Moses in that startling way? When he was carrying on his work looking after the sheep. David too. You know, God met with David and told him of what, he'd be a future king, when he was just going about his work as a shepherd. Think of New Testament, of Peter and co. When did the Lord meet with them? When they were going out as fishermen, you know, just mending their nets. And so, in other words, there's something about just carrying on, faithfully working day in, day out. God loves us to be industrious. The Bible speaks against being idle, but commends us when we are industrious. So here they were, no doubt the heaviness on their heart, and yet God met with him in this way. And he's terrified. Wouldn't we be startled if an angel appeared to us, this visitor from another world? We're so earthbound. But this visitor from heaven, this angel appears, and of course, as in many cases, he is gripped with fear. So let's have a look then at Zechariah's failure, because he had failed to recognize the answer to their many prayers. What prayers do you pray that in your heart you wouldn't admit it? You think, this will never get answered. Do you have those kinds of prayers? You pray it, maybe it's for a person or a situation, and you think, it'll never be answered. You know, it's unbelief, folks, isn't it? As we're going to see, we all do it. I'm not saying it's right, and it's not safety in numbers. But that's the thrust of this, I think. He comes, and he's rebuked for his failing to recognize the answer. So, verse 13, we're reminded, your prayer has been heard. How many years have they been praying and God's been listening all that while? Now, admittedly, the answer was going to be much greater than they could have expected. That's how God answers prayers. We ask for a certain thing and God bumps it up a bit. God supers the prayer. Much more than we could ask or imagine, as Paul puts it. Not only will they have a son, but he would be a prophet. Not any prophet, as Giles was reminding us earlier. You know, he would be the one who's sent to prepare the way for the promised Messiah, this mighty messenger, great in God's sight. But when we look at verse 18, this was just too much for Zechariah to grasp and to accept. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well on in years. I bet he was careful how he said that. But this messenger, he's the mighty angel Gabriel. This isn't any old angel. This is Gabriel, and he's righteously indignant. Look at verse 19. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. So it's clear to see that Zechariah's response to his visit has been met by unbelief. Unbelief is sin. It's very different to Mary's response later in the chapter from verse 26. The same Gabriel goes to this young girl and tells her, this young virgin Mary, that she's going to bear God's son. And it's a different response. Whereas he says, how could it be done? She's actually saying, well, in what way will it be done? She meets it with faith, and we won't be looking at it now. But the angel goes on to say that the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So she's asking, how will it be done? But this is unbelief. From the response that we see in Zechariah. So this is it. This is why we need to be applying it to ourselves. It's so easy to carry on our prayers with no expectancy. I think every time we pray, we should be asking ourselves, do I really believe this? Do I really believe this? Because it's not prayer, I don't think. And as we're bringing it to God with faith, it's faith and expectancy. So we need to stop ourselves getting into this rut. And faith prays when everything around you says, no way. Faith flies in the face of common sense. Common sense says, no. Faith says, yes. We're coming to God. This is God who's not bound by circumstances. And so all the time we're stirring ourselves up. You know, no doubt their prayers were getting weak as time is going by. You know, here's Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they know they're past it now. Maybe they stopped praying. Maybe they thought the prayers they had prayed, that's it. Folks, we need to remember that is it trite to say God stores up our prayers? But prayers that we prayed in the past, that we've forgotten about, God hasn't. Incredible. So this is a faith and expectancy in praying. And I guess we're living in days where the flame of faith, it can burn so low. In the West, we're being stifled, aren't we? Everything is against a life of faith. Everything is lived by sight, not by faith. Everything is materialistic and it grips to us and drags us down. We're to stir ourselves up all the time. Someone said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Well, we see. And thirdly, there's a sharp response to Zechariah's unbelief. This is verse 20. This is the response. Zechariah said, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well on in years. The angel answered, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now, verse 20, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. And so what happens? He's struck dumb. God strikes him dumb. And probably deaf also, because if we look at verse 62, we're told that when naming the child, they made signs to him. So he probably is not only dumb, but deaf also. Now, I guess no doubt he would have completed his week of ministry in the temple, but then would have no doubt rushed home to share this in some way with Elizabeth. Suddenly he's got to learn sign language. Well, no doubt he would have written stuff down. But how would he convey this in an adequate way? What kind of response? There's so much we're not told here. but no doubt the deed has to be done. But 9 months of not being able to speak, well, hard for some of us, isn't it? Harder for some than others. But again, just to apply to ourselves, so in these dark days there must be faith and expectancy, because unbelief is displeasing to God. Faith pleases him. Unbelief is displeasing to God. Matthew Henry, Bible commentator, says, unbelief is the root of all our failing to believe the promises of God. So the Bible is full of promises. What God has done will be fulfilled. That's the kind of thing all the way through. God, not one of God's promises has failed, has it? God will fulfill all of his promises. So we're to, as someone said, ransack the Bible for God's promises, because God will keep his word. The world is God's world, and he's going to bring all these things about in his time. So, dark days. It's Advent. Christ has come the first time, but he's coming again. His coming is near. And, you know, getting to the word of God, getting to Bible prophecy, for every one prophecy, concerning the first coming of Christ, there are 8 concerning his second. Tremendous weight placed upon the second coming of Jesus Christ. I think Solomon says over 1,800 prophecies concerning the return of Jesus Christ. So, how's our expect? Are we expecting the Lord to come in our lifetime? Are we? You guys might not get old. Is that good? I tell you, it is. It is good. Don't get old, you know. But we don't know, folks. But if we're not expecting that, the Son of Man will come at a time we are not expecting, he said, didn't he? If you're not expecting the Lord to come, that's when he's going to come. We might not die, folks. We might not die. The Lord might come beforehand. Do we have that expectancy? We just don't know. We know he's coming, but we don't know when. But these are gospel days. The reason why the Lord Jesus Christ has not returned is because the gospel is still to be preached. He's still saving to them. That's the only reason we've come to this day today, is because all around the world Jesus Christ is saving. So anyway, let's fast forward then, because the time arrives for this tongue to be released of Zechariah. So from verse 57, it's a happy ending to the story. As promised, Elizabeth gives birth. I mean, she was old. They were old. I mean, of course, talk about people talking. To see them walking down the road with the pram. Well, I don't know how old. Maybe they were a little bit more mobile than I am. But boy, wasn't this something to be spoken about, and the stirring. So Elizabeth gives birth to this long-awaited son, and we're told let me read verses 57 to 64. Get the excitement in the area where they live. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he's to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. So a tremendous ending to that. And then from verse 67 we have Zechariah's spirit-filled song. And really, we won't look at it, but it's a tremendous prophecy concerning the one who would be preparing the way for the Messiah, for Christ. And just let me read Malachi again, this long silence. Malachi, the Old Testament ends with Malachi. And Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 looks ahead to this. "See, I will send my messenger," that's John, "who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Well, do you think that after this, Zechariah would have believed in prayer? I think apart from the sleepless nights, his prayer life would have stepped up a bit, don't you, after this? There's nothing like answered prayer to inspire us to pray, is there? But we should be praying, "Lord, I've been praying for this. Let's lay hold of God." We've got a week in prayer coming up, New Year. You know, let's really pray with believing prayer. God hears our prayers. Let's not complain about the days. Let's pray about the days. They are dark times, whether we've got personal things or global things to pray for. Let's pray with expectancy. You know, we need to ask ourselves, well, what am I struggling to believe God for? Let's begin with ourselves. Why am I struggling to believe? Is this too hard for God? I think there's an element of waiting. I think God often keeps us waiting at times to strengthen our faith. Do you really believe this? Do you really want this? But God hears your prayers. Well, just to close, really, and I often, maybe it's my strange imagination, I try and imagine this, the sequel to this. They got the baby now, and they're on their way home with this little boy, and now, and John's just got his speech back after those 9 months of being a silent husband, and Zechariah, his wife, bursting to know more information. You know, well, off you go, Zechariah. Fill me in with the details. You know, well, what details? Well, you know, when the angel came to you, what did he say? Well, you know, women are like, don't you? Want all the details? And we sort of forgotten half. Oh, I think you said, you know. I'll end there. But we're not told. The fact that we are not told. We are told in the Bible only what we need to know. There's lots that we want to know. We're told only what we need to know. But both would have to admit that God had answered them beyond their wildest dreams. And that's our God. He knows us. He loves us. He hears our prayers. If he holds back, it's for a reason. But let's pray with faith and expectancy. And be excited about his coming. Gwen and I were watching a documentary on preparing for the king's coronation. I mean, the planning and the precision. We do a few things right in Britain, don't we? And just the planning that went into this king's coronation, and everything had to be just right, and the splendour of the occasion. But boy, that's just for Charles. I don't want to put him down. But when the King of Kings come, what splendour! What majesty. So we should have that anticipation that the Lord is coming. Well, let's pray now. Lord, when we read your word, not one of the things you have said will happen has failed to happen. And Lord, we're looking in our day for you to come in power. We thank you that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So we're looking, Lord, for a great ingathering. We want to see you come, Lord, in power to your church. And we want to see you save, Lord, mightily in our day. Come, Lord, we pray. This Advent season, may it be a time when the light shines in the darkness and many may see that light and come to Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Lord, you would help us in our prayer lives, that we might pray with faith and expectancy, and that you might answer us beyond our wildest dreams, as you did with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Hear us, we pray, Father. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.